Welcome to Eco Living in Action, a half-hour sustainable living show with Maureen Howard. Maureen chats with a different guest each week about their sustainability activities and initiatives, from advice on tiny houses to rooftop gardens to wildlife-friendly farming practices. Maureen's guests are passionate individuals who are making a difference. Eco Living in Action, proudly supported by Sustainable Dunedin City.
Welcome to Eco Living in Action. I'm Maureen Howard, host of this show. Now, I'm recording this show in the small city of Oaxaca in central Mexico, where I'm currently staying. And right now, just in case you haven't been listening to the show before, I'm on the return journey of my midlife adventure. Well, that's what I'm calling it. And now, it started in December 2015. And so far, it's involved traveling without flying from Dunedin in New Zealand to Ireland to spend time with my mum and family and friends there. And now I'm on my way back again home to New Zealand. Now, for today's show, I'm Skyping into Otago Access Radio studio in Dunedin, where I'm excited to follow news of things that are happening back home in my home county of Otago while I've been away. For one thing, electric vehicles are on the increase. Now, it's still currently relatively small compared to petrol cars, but it is rising exponentially. And it's really promising trend because it's one that makes so much sense to New Zealand, where most of our electricity is generated renewably. But one community is taking the use of electric cars a step further. Now, cars, even electric ones, use resources and space for parking and travel. And since June of this year, 2017, New Zealand's very first community-owned electric vehicle began operating out of the small community of Hampton in North Otago. The vehicle is actually available to anyone living within a 5 to 10 kilometre radius of the Hampton Hall, where it gets parked. So that's pretty much anyone living from Herbert to Shag Point. The initiative has been instigated by Hampton Community Energy Incorporated, which is a group that is assisting the community of Hampton to become more resilient and to transition to a low-carbon future. In this show, recorded on the 11th of August, I chat with Dugald McTavish, who's currently chair of the group, and I talk to him to find out what he loves about this community electric-owned car, how his community got it off the ground, how they run it, and whether it's all going as planned. I asked Dugald about Hampton Community Energy's latest initiative, its community-owned electric car.
Our little group started, 10 years ago, on the back of a couple of lectures we had from local experts here, Professor Bob Lloyd and Sibson, Rick Sibson. He's a geologist, and Bob Lloyd is a physicist. And we got them up to our community to ask them if there was any truth in the fact that resources were finite, particularly energy resources. And they confirmed they were. So our group decided then we should try and do things which would make us more resilient for any reduction in access to particularly energy. But we also, the climate thing started to come along and we could see the connections. So those are the objectives of our group, and that's really why we got interested in EV and why we do other things as well. So, yeah.
And it's quite a small community. You know, I looked on Wikipedia the number of people who live in Hampton itself, and it said 304. So, but it's a little bit wider than that, because you yourself, you're not quite in Hampton itself, are you?
No, we live on a little farmlet at Meraki, which is about 5 km south of Hampton. And we have around 50-odd people there, permanent residents, but in the holidays, it's a holiday resort, and numbers rise to, 400 or 500 perhaps over Christmas. So there's big swings there. But yeah, the car is available to Meraki, Hampton and surrounding area. In fact, we really think of it as the people who use our local rubbish tip, because that's where we raise the money for the car.
Right. Yes. And that's a really interesting thing, because, isn't it, you know, so how you actually got the money together. Tell me a little bit more about that.
It was one of the first projects that Hamden Community Energy embarked on, and that was, we thought, how can we sort of get our toe in the water in being a more sustainable, resilient community? And we thought, well, the obvious place is the waste stream. So we started a recycling shop, diverting anything that we thought was useful from the waste stream. And that's gone really well. We now have two buildings and a container, and we raise probably about $12,000 a year in total, and we make that available to the community for various projects. But the community projects didn't use all the money, so we were slowly gathering up a bit of a fund, and we thought, well, rather than having it sit in the bank and do nothing for us, why don't we put it into a vehicle which is, not going to cause so much environmental damage, and see how the community like it.
Now, in terms of, I was looking on Henrik Møller's recent interview that he had on national radio.
Yeah.
And on it he mentions, that
Flip the Fleet, I think he calls it.
Flip the Fleet, that's right, Flip the Fleet. And on it he mentions that, for every vehicle that is shared, it's taking approximately 7 to 13 vehicles off the road. So that's really significant, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. I was thinking about that coming down today, and I was thinking, I'm a water engineer, so I kind of think in terms of flow and cars on the road, but like water in a pipe. And I think the way we've got cars at the moment, with everyone owning their own and using it sort of 5% of the time, that's incredibly overcapitalized, isn't it? And you've got all these things sitting in garages most of the time doing nothing. And then at peak times, I'm just trying to think, when the rugby's on or something, they all come out. And so our roads and everything are designed for those peak times. But and that's a bit like designing a pipe system for, when everyone goes and run their baths or something. But if you can stagger it and you can reduce your peak load, then you can reduce your pipe size, which means, by analogy, you can reduce your roads, roading, and your all the capital that's involved, and all the steel and metal and energy that's involved in our transport system. So I think it's good. I mean, but the assumption is, of course, that if you have an EV and if you're using it more than 5% of the time, and hopefully we'll work up to that, so it's used a lot more, that car is going to be on the road a lot more, but you're never going to have that peak. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting little complicated thing there.
And also I'd like to add to that, that if so at some point, if people can be confident, let's say in a community-owned vehicle, whether it be electric or non-electric, that they can, let go of having their own vehicle.
Yeah.
Then what you get is, you take away that, commitment to owning an asset that you then need to use. So if you own a vehicle, then of course you're much more likely to use it to travel somewhere instead of, taking on your bicycle and things.
And I think you're breaking up, Weber, but I think that's a really difficult thing for people to get over. I think their vehicles have become a thing of security for them. They like to feel they've got a tank of gas there and they can jump in it and zoom if some emergency happens. And that's, a shift is required in your mental attitude to that question. And there's no doubt that you need to be a bit more organised if you're sharing a vehicle. You've got to have a booking system, and you can't just at a moment's notice rush down and get a bottle of milk. You've got to have some other way of doing that. We're amazingly fortunate because 2 months ago, our local power company installed a charger in the middle of Hamden, and right opposite the Charger is a motel, Meraki Boulders Motel, I think it's called, run by Dave and Lynette Curry. And he's an ex-mechanic and, by his own admission, a bit of a petrol head. And I went in there and said what we were going to be doing with the EV and noted that the Charger was right outside his front window. And to my amazement, he said, oh, yeah, I'd love to be involved with that. You know, I'll keep the books and I'll keep the car here and I'll vacuum the car and keep it clean and take the money and everything just as a volunteer for the community. He said, I want to do something for the community, and so that's what he's doing. And it's just perfect because it's right in the middle of Hampden, and people can bring the car back, put it on the Charger, go home, and he goes out half an hour or an hour later and picks the car up and drives it across the road, and it's all charged and ready to go for the next person.
Okay, so do people have to leave the car back at the hotel, or you said that they can take it home?
We have an arrangement where people can take it away for up to 24 hours, but between times it's kept at the motel, or he often parks it outside just so it's advertising, because it's got, you know, Hampden Community EV or something written on the side of it, so it's good advertising to have it out there.
Right, okay, that's great. And what about the costs then to people, you know, for, I presume, you know, because obviously the vehicle requires some maintenance, less than a standard petrol vehicle, of course, but how do you manage that cost of that?
Yeah, well, we put, as a committee, we put quite a lot of thought into that, and we decided it needed to be two parts. We obviously there needs to be a sort of per kilometre rate of some sort. We know that EVs are just for running costs are around 5 cents a K. So we wanted to, you know, part of this trial with this car is to really give people the opportunity to use it and test it and not be scared of it, you know. So we wanted to keep that as low as we could. So we've got a 10 cent a K amount on it at the moment. And the other part of the cost is, well, we don't want any Joe Bloggs just coming in and jumping in it and you know, seeing what it'll do and wrecking it. So we thought we need to have a sort of almost like a club. So we have what we're called approved drivers, and they have to learn from Dave how to drive it. And then they put a down payment on it, which is $100 a year. Initially, we asked that up front, but we've discovered that not everyone has $100 lying around, so they're now able to make that in stage payments. So
right.
There's the two. There's the unit rate per K, and there's the capital investment in the car. So it's just sort of buy-in to the idea and to the vehicle, and it just means that we have a set of, as I say, approved drivers, that we have some control. So it's not quite like a rental car where people can just come in and pay the money and take it,
yeah.
You know?
Well, I think because it is a community-owned thing, there needs to be, you know, a matter of trust, you know, because, and that you feel that everybody's at a reasonable standard of driving.
Yeah. Well, it is slightly different. It's rather like an automatic, but there's a foot brake, which is the real tricky thing. Once or twice I've stopped the car in the middle of the road by pushing the foot brake instead of the ordinary brake, you know.
Yeah.
So there's one or two little changes like that, but once you get used to it, it's really simple.
Now, you mentioned that it actually gives people a little bit of a chance, you know, to try out a vehicle, and that is an electric vehicle. Are you hoping then, perhaps, that people might choose to replace their own personal vehicle with an electric vehicle?
Yeah, I reckon it would be fantastic if everyone in Hampden swapped their vehicle for an EV. But obviously, this isn't going to happen overnight. But, yeah, that's the idea. I mean, really, I suppose the objective for the vehicle was, just to let people test it and hopefully see if they could see themselves perhaps reducing initially if they have two cars. You know, maybe they think, oh, well, we can get rid of one car, and when we need two cars, we can grab the EV. And, you know, eventually perhaps doing away with the car, their cars altogether, or buying an EV themselves. We personally, about three or four years ago, decided to try and live without a car in Hampden, which is a challenge in the country. You know, you're 30 k's from Oamaru to the north, and 70 k's to Dunedin south. And we bought an electric bike and used public transport. And what we found was that the electric bike was fine for getting us to Hamnan, which is 5 k's from Meraki, but the buses just not good enough, really. We get a block of three of them coming through about midday and nothing in the morning, and then another block of three of them coming within 20 minutes of each other in the evening. And so for us, we thought, if only there could be a community car, then we can we can still live without our car, and we can use the bus now and again, and use the EV. You know, that would be a really good combination.
Yes.
Yeah, so
and so far you're finding that that is a good combination for you?
Well, I have to say we're cheating a little bit, because when my mother no longer was able to drive her car, we thought, we'll keep it as a family car and meant to be in Dunedin. But it has a sneaky way of finding its way up to our backyard somehow, far more regularly than it should. But now that we've got the EV, we are hoping that we can send it home with its tail between its legs.
I guess it, you know, it's still early days, and it's a matter of for you and your family and for everybody's family, you know, to sort of work out a way that they can, you know, get the best use of this car.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of the car itself, that this is a really important one. You know, what type of car did you choose, and what kind of things did you want it to be able to do?
Yeah. We really found that there was only one option for us. I mean, there are a range of electric cars, and other people can talk much more knowledgeably about, you know, that sort of technical side of it than I can. But the Nissan Leaf is the only one that we could find that was even half feasible for us. I mean, it ended up costing us $22,000. Prior to that, we'd been looking at spending $5,000 to $7,000 on a Subaru or something like that. You know, that would have done the job. You know, so it was kind of an ideological jump to say, well, you know, we really want to sort of show that there's a good thing in changing to avoid these negative impacts that the other vehicles have, and perhaps actually, if we have to sell this EV in a year's time, we wouldn't lose any more money on it than we would the Subaru. So we're just investing a bit more in the interim. You know what I mean? Yeah, so anyway, the Nissan Leaf, we found one that was second-hand, supposedly, but it actually only done 4,000 Ks. It was a 2015 model, and I think it had done something like, I've got the data here, it had done about 31 charges in its life. So it was very low use. Interestingly too, its average speed, you can get this data off Hendrik Muller's site for your own vehicle if you lodge it, but the average speed prior to our purchasing it had been 11.7 kilometres an hour, and now we have jumped that up to about 47 kilometres per hour. So obviously whoever had it before us had not driven quickly. I imagine someone in Tokyo or somewhere like that. And it had spent a lot of time into the garage.
Because traffic jams.
Because 31 charges in 2 years is, a little over a charge a month. So it wasn't being used a lot. So you can get a good, I guess what I'm getting around to saying really is you can get a practically a new car for around 20,000, 22,000. And expect really good life out of it. And I think that it's that if you are going for a community car, it's good to get something that's pretty new because people seem to be much more comfortable in a shared vehicle that is new. You know, it's not an old banger. It makes them feel smart and ahead.
Yeah. That's right. And I guess when you think about this community car, you're not just doing it for your own community, but in a way you're doing it as a model for New Zealand and perhaps, the world, like that's showing that here is a community owned electric vehicle and it'll be interesting to see how it works for your community.
Yeah, it really will. And that's what we're kind of waiting to see. I think we've got maybe half a dozen so-called approved drivers so far, and as I say, we're doing 1,000 or 1,200 Ks a month. And it'll be really interesting to see if that number of drivers builds up as word gets around and the Ks goes up per month. And, of course, that data is all being recorded through the Flip the Fleet site. We've already reported the first month's use in our local paper and had some people commenting. For instance, efficiency, battery health, state of health when we got the vehicle was quite low given that it was quite new. It was 93%. And after we've had it for a month, it's gone up to 98%, and in the second month, it's gone up to 99%. So with a bit more use, more frequent use, and perhaps longer drives and so forth, the battery is actually improving, which is really interesting. And
that is really interesting, and also it's also very reassuring for you that you've got that data and you can check to see how your battery is performing, so you're on a good track with it.
We're hoping it'll be the new sport in Hamden, follow the EV statistics.
So have you any advice then for, other communities who are perhaps listening in today and thinking, I'd love to get this started in my own community. Any advice for people getting started?
I think that the model we've got seems to be working quite well for us, the arrangement. I can't say that it's going to be a success yet because we don't know yet, and it is a trial for a year, and we'll sell the vehicle after a year if it's not working. But the signs so far are encouraging, and I suppose the one thing that you do need to think about is the distance that you can travel in it, and We can do about 120-130 Ks, which means we can get to Dunedin, but we need to charge in Dunedin to get home again. The charge takes about half an hour, provided the local charger is working here. We only have one or two chargers in Dunedin, so on occasion that hasn't been working. The other thing is, if you're a community vehicle, this vehicle can't really be used for towing, is my understanding. So perhaps a light trailer might be possible, but generally speaking, it's not something we want to do. So it may be in the future we do get the old Subaru as well for people to hire for perhaps for longer distances or a bit of towing or that kind of stuff, But again, it's a matter of getting people to accept this idea of sharing, really. And that I think has exciting opportunities for not just cars but all sorts of things for communities like ours. Like, we've got a log splitter that we share in the same way, and we've got a trailer, and we're looking at one or two other things that we might, sort of build up a bit of a sharing shed, if you like, of stuff. Yeah.
It's brilliant, brilliant. I love it, I love it. Well, all the very best. Maybe I'll have you on the show again in a year's time and we can see how it's going and you can tell me whether you kept the car or not. But it sounds like it's going from strength to strength. So, Dougal, all the very best and thank you so much for coming on the show.
It's a pleasure, Maureen, and thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Eco Living in Action. I'm Maureen Howard and today I've been chatting with Dougal McTavish from Hampton Community Energy. Now, Dougal is very happy to be contacted via email. If, for example, you'd like a copy of the approved driver's form that they drew up for insurance purposes. So his email is Dougald, D-U-G-A-L-D, at es.co.nz. Hampton Community Energy also have a Facebook page. And we talked about Flip the Fleet on the show and who are monitoring electric vehicles in New Zealand. So they're at www.flipthefleet.org. And also if you're thinking about getting an electric vehicle, you might want to check out where the electric charging stations currently are in New Zealand. And you can do that at www.plugshare. So it's plugshare.com. If you'd like to listen to this show again, you can download this show as a podcast from the Otago Access Radio website at oar.org.nz. Eco Living in Action is also can be subscribed to on iTunes or listened to there. And if you'd like to look at some photos and things like that, you can check out my website at ecolivinginactiondunedin.wordpress.com. Eco Living in Action is supported by Sustainable Dunedin City, which incidentally Dougald was a co-founder of. So thank you so much for listening and I hope to catch you next week.
Sustainable Dunedin City aims to facilitate a positive, secure and sustainable future for Dunedin, where local people interested in issues of climate change, declining energy security and sustainability, as they affect our city. Sustainable Dunedin City produces a regular online newsletter of sustainability-related events, hosts regular green drink sessions and organises the Big Green Challenge. For more information or to join, go to www.sustainabledunedincity.org.
Groans at least six times a day. Keep them logs rolling, boys, down to the Milky Boys. Keep them logs rolling down, for we'll drive the crosscuts through just to show what we can do. We'll pave all the streets of London town. Sweats and strains most all day. Down 20 miles a track to feed the mill. Stoker keeps the firebox full with the offcuts from the day, so that later on she'll make that 3 mile hill. The mill first does strip and bark the logs and sends them to the benchman standing by. He slips the mill saw through, never mind what slips and pokes. It's then that you'll see the chips and the sawdust fly. Keep them logs rolling, boys, down to the Milky Boys. Keep them. Ascot's through just to show what we can do. We'll pave all the streets.